We're back after a break. Let's review a little bit of what we covered in our previous session. We went through what? The crucifixion and the death of Christ, right? And we learned that Jesus went before the Sanhedrin, before the council of the church, before the Jewish leaders. He was slapped in the face, and he was mocked. And then he went to Pilate, which sent him to Herod, and there they put a robe on him, and they mocked him. And then he went to Pilate, and Pilate had him scourged, had him flogged for us. And tonight, we just want to take a moment. We're going to do an offering in a moment. Holding meetings is something we do regularly here at Glendale. And we do need some funds to support it. I just want you to take a minute. Will you get on your knees with me? And if you're able. I want you to do two things. I want you to focus on all that Jesus has done for you. This may not be your thing, but just give it a try. Try to spend just a moment in silence. Think about all that Jesus has done for you. The scourging, the whipping, the spitting on, the crucifixion. Just take a moment to meditate on it. And I also want you to take a moment to meditate on the offering. And think of, if you can help, think of what way you can do that. But let's start out with a quick prayer. Jesus, we look to you now. You've done so much for us. Help us to see you in all your glory, the splendor of your sacrifice. I just want to take a moment of silence right now. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done, for enduring till the end, so that we might experience the life that you live, so that we might experience eternity with love, with God. We pray in your name tonight, Jesus, your precious and holy name. Amen. If the ushers will come forward and collect the offering right now. Like I said, this is just an evangelism offering. This is something we do quite regularly here at the Glendale Church, and if you can support it in any way, that would be great. While that's going around, I just want to say tonight's topic for this second part is, I will be with you always. Jesus has not left us like orphans like we learned Friday night, but Jesus is coming back for us. And Jesus has given us his spirit that will live within us. So we learned that Jesus was crucified. We learned that Jesus died for us. But is that our hope? That is a big portion of our hope, that Jesus endured to the end for us. But we also have another hope. And that is the hope of what happened after Jesus died. Jesus died on what day? The sixth day, Friday. We learned Wednesday about the Sabbath and how he rested in the tomb. And then the first day of the week, Sunday, well, let's let the Bible tell us. Luke chapter 24, turn there with me now if you're not already there. Chapter 24, verse 1 through 9. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is what? Is risen. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. So Jesus died for us, correct? He went to Calvary. He endured till the end for you. But on the first day, 3 days later, what happened? He rose. He resurrected. Jesus conquered death. Romans chapter 6 tells us, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." You see, this is the big portion of our hope. This is the second big portion of our hope. Jesus not only died for your sins, but he rose. He conquered death for you. You see, there's a lot of people in this world that are afraid of death. They fear death because they don't know what happens afterwards. We don't have to fear. We have truth. And Jesus is life. He is the resurrection. Jesus conquered death so that the death you have to face is nothing permanent. It's just a little nap before he comes. Jesus told us that he's coming again. He says he's bringing the angels of heaven with him. It's going to be an amazing event. And then we are going to get to go home, back to perfection. Jesus is going to recreate this world. It's going to go back to the good, 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 and very good that he intended us to live in. Death no longer has dominion over him, and it no longer has dominion over us. Through Jesus, we can have life. Real life. Life filled with joy. Life filled with love. Jesus is our life. Do you want to accept him tonight? In John chapter 21, Jesus shows himself to his disciples. His disciples are obviously kind of depressed about everything that happened. Their faithful leader, Jesus, has just been crucified. Then John chapter 21, verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus, showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were there together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.'" What did the disciples do before Jesus picked them up? They fished. And now that Jesus has died, it seems like they're kind of in the dumps, and they're thinking, "Forget it. I'm going back to fishing." So they say, "I'm going to go fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got in the boat. And that night they caught how much? How much? Nothing. Now normally you caught something, but tonight they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Jesus is just saying hey to his disciples. It continues on in verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Trying to restore some hope, saying, "Guys, I'm right here. You don't need to worry. Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. That was the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples. Jesus has risen, and he still longs to bless us. He's still telling you, "Cast your net over here so that I can fill it with everything good, so that I can fill it with my blessings that I long to give you." Matthew 28, right before Jesus' ascension. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," this is known as the Great Commission, if you haven't heard it. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Can you say amen to that? Jesus is with us always, even to the end of the age. But we come to this point in our journey. I'm kind of sad to say that it's coming to a close. After tonight, we won't be meeting. If you come back here, nobody will probably be here. But our journey comes to a close, and we have to face the question, what now? I mean, the first night, we looked at who Jesus was. We saw that he was eternal, that he was God. Then the second night, we took a look at his temptations, at the character of the devil and what happened, and how a good God can be in control of such a bad world. And then the third night, we took a look at the Lamb of God. We took a look at Jesus and his sacrifice and how that atones for our sins. The fourth night, we looked at the law and how God doesn't just give us a bunch of rules to hold us back, but he's trying to teach us how to remain in his amazing love. And then the fifth night, we looked at the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and we figured out that God loves us so much that he created 24 hours to spend with us. Thursday, we looked at Jesus has power over death. We looked at the story of Lazarus and how the dead are in the graves. Friday, we looked at the hope we have because Jesus is coming back for us. Jesus is coming again. Sabbath morning, we looked at the prayer life of Jesus and how that affects us. Saturday night, last night, we took a look at the millennium in hell and how all of this reveals the character of God. Have you gotten a picture of who God is throughout this series? Have you gotten some hope? I sure hope so. We are on the journey of hope. And we come to the point, what now? Jesus told his disciples, "Go therefore," and what? "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Number one tonight, where to go from here? Become a disciple. Become a disciple. Now notice, Jesus called us to make disciples. Did he call us to make church members? No. Did he call us to make people that sit in pews week after week? No. Jesus called us to make disciples. What is a disciple? The Greek word literally means follower. Jesus is looking for committed followers of him. He wants you tonight to become a committed follower to him. That doesn't mean becoming someone who attends church every week. It means taking it, making him a part of your life. Choosing to have a relationship with him, as we've been talking all week. Choosing to invite him into your heart so that he can bring the joys of heaven. What now? Become a disciple. That's what Jesus said. He said, go make disciples, teaching them everything I have commanded you. That's what I've been trying to do this series. I'm trying to teach you what I have discovered. I'm trying to share with you the hope that I've discovered. And now I'm hoping maybe you want to become a disciple. And after you become a disciple, what next? Make disciples. You see, Jesus is good. We've learned that this week. We've learned that Jesus' love is amazing. Way too amazing to keep to ourselves. Amen? Jesus' love is so amazing that once we have it in our hearts, we need to be going out, making him a part of our life, sharing with others, so that they can see that we have something that they're missing out on. We need to go make disciples. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talked to his disciples and his followers and told them what they were. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the salt of the earth. What does that mean, really? What are some characteristics of salt? What does salt do? It flavors. It adds flavor. You see, as Christians, you are to go add some flavor to the world. You have something beautiful. You have Jesus. And the joy should be bursting out of your heart so that you're adding flavor into the lives of others, so that you're adding flavor into this world. You are the salt of the earth. What are you doing to flavor this world? Another thing salt does is it preserves. You are to be preservers of this hope, preservers of the Word of God, so that if all the Bibles in the world were burned, you still have the Word of God in your heart. You know it. You are to be preservers of this amazing hope that we have discovered. And finally, salt creates thirst. You notice that? If you sit down with a bag of potato chips, you get awfully thirsty pretty quick. Salt creates thirst. You should be making people thirsty. You know what I'm talking about? People should look at you like we discussed on Sabbath morning. Moses came from Mount Sinai, and what happened? He had just been with God, and he was glowing. His face was shining. And it should be that way with us. We should be walking down the street and people should be able to point at us and say, he has just come from the throne of grace. He has just been with God. People should look at us and say, what do you have that I don't? What kind of hope is going on inside of you that I don't have? We should make people thirsty. People should look at you and want to be quenched. They should want to be quenched. Jesus says to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I am the water of life. People should look at you and see you jumping around with all this hope and all this joy and say, man, I am thirsty. You are the salt of this earth. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You need to shine. People need to look at your face and say, oh my goodness, something is up with this guy. Something is up with that woman. Her face is glowing. They have just been with God. I hope that you found some hope throughout this series. And I hope that you found that it is worth sharing. John chapter 21, verse 25. John is writing at the end of his gospel. And he writes something really, what I find to be amazing. He says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Isn't that fascinating? Many people read the Gospels over and over and they miss this passage. Jesus did so many things, which if they were written one by one, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain them. We've gone throughout this journey of hope, and every night we've covered a lot of material. We've gone through the life of Jesus, but guess what? We've barely scratched the surface. In fact, you could pick up your Bible, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a dozen times each from cover to cover, and you would still only have scratched the surface. Why is that? Why don't we have a record of everything Jesus has done? Do we need a record of everything Jesus has done? We have the Gospels. We have the message. And what Jesus is doing now, entering your heart, changing your life, he's still doing things. He hasn't stopped. And if we kept writing them down, there would not be enough books in the world to contain all the things that he has done. We've only scratched the surface. The Gospels only scratched the surface. But what matters is that you know Jesus, that you know what he has done in your life. Because that's what matters, that you know what he has done in your life. He's done so many things in my life alone. I could write a big book about it. Let him go ahead and do some stuff in your life. Back to Matthew chapter 28. I'm hoping to keep this session fairly short because I went a little over on the last session. But Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now stop with me right here. Jesus tells us to go make disciples. Is that a suggestion? Hey, that'd be a good idea. Go make disciples. Or is that a command? What does it say? Go therefore. Every time you see the word therefore, you have to figure out what? What it's there for. Go therefore. Therefore what? Jesus says first, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go. Make disciples. Jesus is saying, I have all the power in the world because I endured until the end. Now go, tell people, share this wonderful, glorious hope. Teach them the amazing things that I have taught you. That's what this series has been about. I'm just trying to share with you what has changed my life. The first night, I shared with you a little bit about my testimony. And I told you that Jesus changed my life. You may have thought I was crazy, but I hope if you joined us this week that you've learned something. That you've learned that Jesus has the power to change your life. And that he wants in. He's standing at the door and he is knocking. Knocking, asking you to become a follower of him, to let him in. Jesus says, remain in my love. And he says that if you remain in his love, his joy will be inside of you. The joy of Jesus Christ can be inside of you. the joy of heaven can be inside of you. Jesus longs to come in. Tonight, if you want to open the door of your heart and say, Jesus, come in, because my life needs some changing. If you want to go ahead and say, Jesus, come in, because I'm a mess. If you want to accept Jesus and the amazing sacrifice that he has given for you, will you stand with me? You see, Jesus is calling each one of you to open the door, to let him in. We've gone throughout this journey of hope, and it's been incredible. It really has. But I'm here to tell you tonight that your real journey of hope, it's just begun. Accepting Jesus into your life, you're just getting started. Even if you accepted Jesus into your life years ago, your journey's just beginning. Jesus has told us that he will come again, and that he's going to take us home, and that we're going to live with him forever. You are going to live with God, and God is love. That's the last time you're going to say that throughout this series. Will you say it with me again? God is love. And it's not that shallow love, giving your brother a handshake in the lobby. It's not that shallow love that you work to get a smile on your face with. It's that kind of love that goes to the cross, that says, Father, forgive them, as they're driving nails through his wrists. Jesus loves you, and he longs to come in and share with you the joy that he knows. Your real journey of hope is just begun, because you have a whole life ahead of you. Whether you're young or old, you have a whole life ahead of you with Jesus, with Christ, with the God of the universe. You have a life ahead of you that's never going to end. Think about that tonight. Jesus came down and he died for you. Do you want to become his disciple? Do you want to start to follow him? So what do you say? Does it sound like it'll be worth it? He wants in because he wants to bring the joy of heaven with him. Because he loves you, he wants you to experience what he has to offer. Tonight, we're going to go ahead and pray. But if you want to know what's next, maybe you're in this journey, you're trying to get to know Christ, and you want to know what's next, we're going to pray. And if you want to have some more information, I'm going to be waiting up front. You can wait till everybody's gone. But after we pray, if you want to know what's next, I've discovered this hope, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, but what do I do now? I want to invite you. I'll be sitting up here in front, and if you want to know more, please come and talk to me. I'm sharing this with you, not because they're paying me a lot of money, because they're not. Not because I thought it would be fun to stand up in front of a bunch of people. Not because I like to talk, even though I do. I'm not up here because of that. I'm up here because I have a God. And when I accepted him into my heart, my life went crazy, and it changed rapidly. And today I know a love that brings the greatest joy to my heart. I know love because I have a God who got up on a cross and proved that he loved me. He saved me. And He wants to save each and every one of you. He's not willing that any of you should perish, but He wants you all to get to know Him. And like I said, we're going to pray, and I want you to think about it. If you want to know what's next, if you want to learn a little bit more about baptism, like we talked about Monday night, maybe rebaptism, if you want to know more, I'll be waiting up front. Because I want you to get to know this God that I have. Maybe you know God as creator. Maybe you pray. But I'm talking about Jesus here, the Savior of the world. He longs to have a relationship with you, and maybe that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But He wants into your heart. Will you choose to trust Him? We've learned a lot about Him, and there's still a lot to learn. But think with me. Will you choose to let this God of the universe, who has this crazy, passionate, intense, all-consuming love for you, will you choose to let Him in your heart? He wants a commitment, and there's no such thing as partial commitment. He wants you, because you are the focal point of His love. Pray with me. Jesus, we come before You now, and I bring myself to the feet of Jesus. Lead me to the cross, God. And lead all these people tonight to the cross so that we can see the glory of Your love unfolded. I pray for the people in this sanctuary tonight, Lord, that they may feel Your presence, Your glory, and Your love right now like they've never felt it. I pray that You would touch their heart, that they would make the decision for You to accept You in all Your fullness and all Your grace and all Your beauty, to accept Your amazing love. If it is Your will to say, what now? If you are contemplating baptism, if you are contemplating a commitment to Christ, if you're contemplating a new commitment to Christ, and you want to declare it right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, this is between you and Jesus, will you raise your hand with me and say, I really want to start a new commitment with Christ? God bless you guys. Jesus, we come to You now. You know who has raised their hand, and You know the hearts of each one of these people. Draw us to make a decision for You, Jesus. Help us to feel and experience Your love. I pray for these people, Lord, that they would know You and the love that You have for them. Thank You so much for this journey of hope, God. Thank You so much that we have found a joy and a love and a hope throughout Your life. Be with us now. Help us to know You and experience Your love on a whole new level. Help us to make the decision to become disciples. And help us to make the decision to go out and share this beautiful love that You've given us. Thank You, Jesus, for all these people and for the beautiful truth of who You are. In Your precious name, amen.